Now more than ever. Lowe's knows you don't just want a low price. You want the lowest price. And with our lowest price guarantee, you can count on us for competitive prices on all your home improvement projects. If you find a qualifying lower price somewhere else on the same item, we'll match it. Lowe's. We help. You save. Price match applies to same item. Current price at qualifying retailers. Exclusions and terms apply. Learn how we'll match price at Lowe's.com/lowest price guarantee.
This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor. Off to New South Wales, Jeremy Zakas joins on what Jeremy introduces as a perfect, perfect Easter Sunday in New South Wales. Jeremy, a very good day to you. We have an Easter egg hunt. We have much to learn, but I chiefly want to know about your weather. How are the skies this morning? Good evening to you.
G'day, John. Well, the skies, they are perfectly blue right now. And not only is it perfectly blue out there, the temperature as well is coming up to be a fabulous day. We're talking around about the high 70s, maybe the low 80s, but absolutely beautiful out there. In fact, all across Sydney right now, not only are we getting blue skies, the weather is perfect to go down to the beach, which is also ironically the perfect thing right now for an Easter Sunday because, one, we love our barbies by the beach. We get the barbecue out. We love to get on the sand and we love just getting outdoors every given Easter. But also, too, there are large waves out there as well. We've got some weather up in the northern parts of the eastern seaboard right now that's generating these massive swells, which means for our surfing culture here in Sydney right now, it's the perfect Easter Sunday because everybody can get out there. Everyone can have a surf or a swim. Doesn't matter what you want to do. But, John, it is absolutely the perfect Easter Sunday weather you can ever imagine.
Now, it is supposed to be autumn or fall for you, and that can be cooler in America. It sounds like something we call Indian summer. Do you have that term when it gets warm in the fall?
Yes, we do. We do. In fact, exactly right. Although it is 180 degrees reverse to when you'll be getting it there in the Northern Hemisphere. But honestly, John, that is very much what we're getting right now. We're really getting that second blast of summer. We're getting a little bit cooler at nighttime, but during the daytime, we are getting those warmer temperatures. And while today it's a little bit milder than it has been during the week, here in Sydney, we've been getting those temperatures up near 30 degrees Celsius. So we're talking, you know, up around the high 80s, the low 90s. But when you start to look across the rest of the continent, I mean, South Australia, Adelaide, they've been getting around about 35 degrees Celsius, so nearly 100 Fahrenheit all through the week. Out to Western Australia, same story as well. They're getting an absolute last blast of summer, which is expected to last maybe a couple more weeks. So we well and truly have an Indian summer right now, but, you know, it may be about to come to an end.
What happened to Tropical Cyclone Errol? Where did it go?
Well, Tropical Cyclone Errol, which was the tropical cyclone that first started almost directly north of Australia, headed out to the west in the Indian Ocean, then did a hook turn and came back towards Australia, so started heading right to the left-hand side of the Australian coastline on the map. It crossed the Western Australian coastline at Currie Bay. And Currie Bay is a smaller settlement. It's just sort of north of Port Hedland, which is the largest settlement with a few hundred thousand people there. But it crossed the mainland. And as soon as it did, it basically dissipated to become just a big monsoonal rainstorm, no longer a tropical cyclone. But as we speak right now, John, it is now dumping a lot of water onto that part of the world. So Western Australia has gone from being very, very hot in the southern part of Western Australia, so that's the bottom left-hand side of the Australian map, to having a lot of rain now in the top left-hand side of Australia because of Tropical Cyclone Errol. But, John, I should say that this tropical cyclone, while we've had a few this season, this one was really quite a bit bigger than some of the others. So although it didn't come ashore as a tropical cyclone, it has created this massive wet weather system up the top of Australia now that looks like it's going to stick around for days.
I believe, I'm trying to remember, that you say this is very late in the season for cyclones. So even though they get downgraded, the fact that they're still cyclones is unusual. Do I remember that correctly?
You do, absolutely. We're probably about a month past where we should be stopping seeing cyclones. So these cyclones are about a month behind where we would normally see them. While in history we have seen a few cyclones from time to time that come up in mid to late April, normally they're a bit smaller. The power is really not there. That monsoonal system in the northern part of Australia is slowly dissipating and going into a winter cycle, I guess you could say. But right now, I guess because we are having that Indian summer effect, we do have a lot more warmer weather up in the northern part of Australia with a lot more moisture. The Indian Ocean is slightly warmer than it normally would be, so there is that evaporation that's occurring in earnest more so than it would right now. We are getting cyclones a little bit later, and I did see in the news that there is a potential for another cyclone this coming week, although it's still forming off the West Australian coastline. It's still well and truly in the Indian Ocean, so it may not get there yet, but we could still see one more yet, John, and that in itself is very, very unusual.
I'm trying to remember, Jeremy, what is the school year for you? Are you opposite us, or do you follow the same pattern? We go back to school in September, and we have vacation in June. Is that the way you do it, or do you have it differently?
We have a kind of a similar pattern in some ways in that we have holidays around the same time, but our large holiday is actually across the December-January period. So when you have, I guess, summer holidays in June, we're actually having that 6 to 7 week period off from school during December and January. So that's the beginning of our school year, which means as we speak right now across Australia, we're actually into the first term school holiday. So it's a 2 week holiday break over Easter and around the Anzac Day period. Then in June, we'll have another holiday, but it will only be 2 weeks. That's basically the mid-year holiday for us. So same time, but much smaller holidays when you would be having much larger ones.
It's our Easter weekend and your Easter weekend. Now, I was surprised that Friday the markets were closed. I'm not sure about the banks, but many people did not work. I did because of the news. You have Friday off, is that right? Do you also have Monday off?
That's absolutely correct. We get Friday and we get Mondays off, and actually across the board too. So for the retail sector, Good Friday is always completely shut down. So all the shops were closed. Sunday, as we're in right now, is also completely shut down for basically every service except for restaurants, which are allowed to open in some states. So we do get a full four-day weekend when it comes up to Easter, which I can tell you, especially given how busy this year is, most people here in Australia, I think, really, really welcomed it.
And Anzac Day, explain what that is and what happens, Joe.
Yes, Anzac Day celebrates it was actually a military defeat, believe it or not, for the Australian and New Zealand forces in Gallipoli in Turkey. And what it was during World War One, Australian and New Zealand forces landed on Gallipoli Cove, which was a piece of beachhead that the British wanted us to effectively take and move inland and take over a peninsula from the Turks. But effectively, we landed in the wrong spot because we were given the wrong information. So the Australian New Zealand troops were effectively caught pinned down under fire at Gallipoli Cove. And despite all the best efforts, they remained there for several months. But Anzac Day is effectively celebrates when we went ashore on that day and effectively managed to take the beach and hold the beach for a couple of months despite all odds, and really had to effectively withdraw eventually. And although we had to withdraw, we managed to get thousands and thousands of our soldiers out there, even though unfortunately thousands had died during the campaign. But while it is effectively a loss, it's a great moment between Australia and New Zealand for, I guess, mateship, camaraderie, because we stuck in that together. We did the best we could. We doubt any other military could have probably stayed there as long as we did. But effectively on Anzac Day, which is April 25th, which was the day when the campaign kicked off, here in Australia, it's a national holiday. We have Anzac Day marches, which are effectively military parades all across the country. And we just celebrate our military wins and military campaigns across history. So it's not just only Anzac's campaign that we actually celebrate. We celebrate everything. So it's a big military day here. So again, we get a public holiday, which means this year we actually get two public holidays within the space of a two-week period. So I can tell you, John, as Aussies, we are very, very lucky this year round.
Jeremy Zachas in New South Wales on Easter weekend. Looking forward to Anzac Day. It's time to turn to two combatants who haven't heard that there's peace in the land. Great Eastern brown snakes. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.